That's a little about the hashkafa of Yibam v'chalitza after we conclude our halacha section of the shiur today. Pitziata d'shmaya. Okay, so if I'm correct, we left off here in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza on Daf Kuvdal Amid Beis. Godol Omer Al Gabov. That's what we start talking about. What's the context over here? The Gemara is in Kuvdal Amid Beis. Let's read the Gemara together. Hash Diyama Kriyalom Akva. Ilem Vilema Shecholtu Chalitzasim Ksheira. Even though they couldn't speak, it's Kriyat Namayakev. So the Gemara says, wait about a Chareshes, etc. Cheresh or Cheresh, it's no good. My lab, we think, because why? Lab and a Kriyan. The word Cheresh, generally speaking, means what? Can't hear nor speak. Lo. Should be lab and a Deonin. I, Elan, Bilemis, Nami. They're not B'nai Deon. Mara says, no. B'nai Deonin, who? If they can hear but not speak, they're B'nai Deon. Upumayu hu dekorv. This is a world famous expression. This is used by Poskim throughout Shas. Whenever the principle, which we shall see momentarily, of Kol Shein Aroyo and Bila Makemes Bo, they often will invoke this principle, or someone is not a Bar Chiyuva. Things of this which are found throughout Shas. It's only a technicality. The mouth hurts, but not something fundamentally wrong with the person. Oh, Mar says, V'she'eno ba'omo v'omra. Mar says, no, Rava said it on the safe. What is it in the sefer? Cheresh and nechas and chavesh and chol tzavach chalas and nakat and chliyach and psula. Amar Rava, hash to the yarmut kriya miakva lefichach. Ilem ilem and chol tzavach chalitzos and psula. Ay, the Mishnah says it's not ma'akev. No, Reb Zeira, the famous Reb Zeira. Kol aror lebila and bila ma'akevetz bo. Shem aror lebila bila ma'akevetz bo. That's the end of the sugya. Reb Osi, with me so far? If you don't say you don't read the parasha, it's okay. If you can't read the parasha, then it's not okay. That's what the Gemara says. Very nice. Says Tosis. For Ami Rabbi Yana, if he shena by Amar ve'Amar, v'im Tomar, minola li Rabbi Yana, high time o dilma mishum de lavene deo ninu v'tanyo tibin and shiskavnu shneem v'amai nami aminon the kamon dav kufei diktano choletz v'putos v'kod nami havecholetz would've ilav ish k'sim v'parasha. Why? Kev de lavene deo ninu. We have a general principle. Chere shod de v'kodon Lav and Eidea Ninu. How come it's not invoked over here in our sugyo? That's the kash, the end all kashes. We have to speak about today at some length. Why did our Gemara say Cheresh Advekotam? Lav and Eidea Ninu. Now notice I threw the word Shotin by instinct. Shotin's not found over here. You with me? But you know, those three holes go together. Yeah. V'yesh Lomar, what is Tosis' answer? Shebezdin Obedim Al Gabam Umor Lehem Lasas Chalitza Kitikuna. Because getting off of base, chashvak, cheyreshot of a kotam, shakos who get the girdle home and al gabam the kosher. And shot is different. Whatever, that's the next part of the Tosfos. So Tosfos answers the question by saying, Rabosai, that cheyreshot of a kotam is taka lav an idea. But if they have a girdle home and al gabam, they have an idea of a haraya. When it comes to writing a get, girdle home and al gabam, works. Sure. Fine. This is what Tosfos answers. So Tosfos makes no distinction between chalitza and ksivas aget. Okay. In both cases, it would work. Godol Omer Gabov. It's interesting. The Ritva doesn't like Tosfos shita. Doesn't like it. Doesn't say why. Doesn't say why. So the footnotes on the Ritva has a couple of theories as to why. One of them is, oh, come on. Godol Omer Al Gabov only works when it comes to ksivas aget. Now when it comes to mesivas aget, the issuing of a get, no, it doesn't work. Cheresh Shota V'Katan can write a get, Godol Omer Al Gabov. Certain parts of the get, the whole get, that's a whole bachlokas and the sugyan getting the rishon there. But to give a get, Can't be. Let's say someone, you can't be a gadol and then become a kohen. That's impossible. But if someone was a pikeach v'nischaresh, or a pikeach v'nishtate, at that point in time, he wants to give a get, but gadol omen al gabo. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Doesn't work. So chalitza, Rabbi Osai, is like mesiras haget. Chalitza changes the status of the woman from a woman who's tied down to a woman who's no longer tied down. So the same way as by mesiras haget, gadol omen al gabo will not work, so too by chalitza. That's one possibility why Tosfos, why Ritva doesn't like Tosfos. That's one possibility. It's interesting that the fact that there are Rishonim who say that it does work. Rabbi Chanan asked this kasha, how Kamataka works? Why is it different than giving over the get? And he says famously, and this is part to our, today we're giving the, going back to part of our psicha from 2 days ago, is that Chalitza, in contrast to Gittin v'Kiddushin, doesn't require Das Kinyan. All it requires is Kavana, maybe Kavana's mitzvah, as the Beis Meir says it. We mentioned this briefly in the previous year. Fine. That's Reb Chaim explained also. Reb Chaim, the famous Reb Chaim, yes, true, he starts off talking about Eide Kiyum, but really, most of his discussion centers about this Tosfos. Why is Gadol Omen Gavah work by Chalitza and not by Gittin? And he gives the same exact answer. But Gittin, where the man does it, so therefore what? You have to have his own das. Das kinyan, it doesn't help somebody else. But when it comes to chalitza, he just has an action. The Torah does it. So for that, he only needs kavana, not das. And for this, it's enough to have gadol omen al gav. Adkan. Fine. Okay, good. It's interesting, I just mentioned in passing, the Mishkanis Yaakov talks about this in the context of tzitzis. He gives an interesting suggestion that Rabbi Lazar is Lishitoso here on Kuf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph that Trumas Cherish Lotetz Elchun is a Sufik Bardas. Sufik Bardas. So it must be therefore based upon a Xeris Akosif. It can't be based on Lav and Edea because according to Rabbi Lazar, whose name is found over here on his Daf, a Cherish is a Sufik Bendas. So therefore, he has to go with difference, with different Svaras of Kriya, no Kriya, etc. But for us, we pass in against Rabbi Lazar, we pass in Cherish Adav Akotin, La B'nei Deya Ninu. So therefore, for us, it's not B'nei Deya. And so that's what it's found in the Tosefta. That's La B'nei Deya Ninu. And this is what the Rambam holds. Rambam mentions La B'nei Deya, the Olamah Farash Shemesh, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara gave different answers. So the Mishkanis Yaakov says, the Gemara goes according to Rabbi Lazar, L'shitas HaKuf Yud Gimel, we pass in La B'nei Deya. That's another possibility. According to that, Rabbi Osai, for us, Gadol Omen al Gabov will likely not help because it just doesn't work for tzitzis. That's what he's talking about. That's the context of the Mishkanis Yaakov. Others disagree. Say it does work. I'm not learning Hilchos Gittin now. I'm just giving you some of the highlights. Oh, now it's interesting, Rabbi Osai. The Rambam in Hilchas Yibam V'Chalitza talks about Cheresh Otav Katan, and he says two things. Perek Vav Elish Shemisyabos Mos V'Lo Cholzos Loshen Dekeva HaChareshes V'Ashota V'Aktana V'She'ein Bohen Das Likros Olahavim. We'll get to that a little bit later with Likros Olahavim, but there's a lack of Das. Okay? Interesting. In Halacha Gimel, talking about a Cheresh Shota V'Kotan male, they should Eilem Dem Das Lachlots. Notice a change? Here, don't know of Das Lachlots. Here, don't have Das Likros Ulahov. Why that change? He explains, Onig Yogda explains. The man is the one who releases the woman. Same as Gittin Kiddushin. He's the one who creates the issues and dispenses with the issues. So therefore, he has no das even lachlots. That's why it's no good in Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel. However, when it comes to the Yavamah, doesn't depend upon her. No. She's not doing, she may be active in the act, but she's passive in the release. And therefore, there's a side problem. The side problem is, Fisha'ein lehem das likros ulahavim. It's a chasar, and it seems to be in the Kriya. In the Kriya. This is what the Ha'ara, which is found, very nice Ha'ara by the Onig Yontif. In any event, Rabosai, this is what some of the early discussion is about this question of Tosfos. Does not seem to mention the idea of La V'nei Deya. Tosfos is Godel Omer Al Gabov, and even that Chiddush doesn't work for Gerishim. So Reb Chaim explains, because Chalitza doesn't require your Hakna, just as a Dava Debemela. That's his approach. That we have the idea that maybe the Gemara doesn't discuss about the issue of Das over by Chavish because it's Rabbi Lozal Lishitosa, that's Shemiz Knus Yaakov's approach. We have the Onig Yontif Se'ara that the Rambam changed from him to her because he is creating the Chalos, if you will, Heter, and she is just a recipient of that Chalos Heter. She needs less Kavon and Das. All she needs is her Chesaron is only because of her inability to understand Lahavin, the Kriya. That's what appears from the Lashon of the Rambam. And now we come to the Lomdus, the famous Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Lomdus Shavart. He says like this, God Alomad Al Gabov only works when it comes to Ksivas Aget, because Ksivas Aget is given to Shlichus. You all know that. The typical Ksivas Aget comes to a Shliach. Right? The assuming that the husband doesn't write himself, he appoints somebody else to write it for him. So Memela has what's the lumdus, Rebosa? Contrary to Al-Tosus. Al-Tosus understands that Godolam al-Gabba means that the Cheresh Shota V'Kotam is able to muster sufficient Kavana under the supervision of a Godolam al-Gabba. Rabbi Yonah is a much more lumdus Shavar. No. The Cheresh Shota V'Kotam doesn't have so much ability. But the person, the one who's Omen al-Gabba, he supplies the Das or the Kavana for the Ksivas again. So it's a bifurcation of roles in Ksivas again. You need number one, the fact, the writing, the manual writing. And you need number two, the proper Kavana which goes into it. So if you have a God Omen Al Gabov, also appointed presumably by the Baal, so that he provides the Kavana, the Lishma, and the person who writes, he provides the manual writing, the fact that just the technical stuff of writing it. This is what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Of course, when it comes to Chalitza, it's impossible. It's impossible to do such a thing. There's a discussion in Poskim. Does Rabbeinu Yonah automatically mean that Shlichus Aget, that Ksivas Aget requires Shlichus? So that's what some say yes, and some say not necessarily. The Ksiv itself does not require Shlichus. Only the Kavana requires the Shlichus. That's a whole discussion which the Poskim have. It's interesting that our Rabbeinu Yonah, as the Rashba quotes in Chul, Nafid Beis and Midbeis, is cited by the Achronim in a very major dispute which existed 100 years ago. Perhaps a little bit more. A particular Rav, who was a Talmud Chacham, came up with a whopper chiddush which shook the whole halachic world. Namely, he says, although we know Mefurish in the Gemara that there's no shlichus by chalitza, that's why the man cannot make a tanai, right, because he cannot appoint a shliach. He said, you know what? The woman can appoint a shliach. Now, where did he get that from? Well, look, it doesn't say anywhere in Shas why there can't be a shlichus when it comes to chalitza. It doesn't say anywhere. I'll tell you where it comes from, he says. V'chol tzonalo mi'al raglo. And it's what's called like a mitzvah shebegufo. Ukshat on the osa yodecha. You put your tefillin on your own hand. You didn't appoint an agent this morning. You put tefillin on your hand for me. It's ridiculous. So here too, same as an action on a hand, on an arm, must be your arm. So the action on a foot must be your foot. But what she's doing an action. When it comes to actions, you're always making a shliach. This is what this particular Talmud Chacham suggested, and they slugged him up from this Rabbeinu Yonah, because Rabbeinu Yonah said that there could be no Godel Omen Al Gabov because there's no Shlichus, and he's going both on the man and on the woman. A remarkable, remarkable idea. Even the Maharsham, the Gadol Hador, as we saw in the Sefer Chalitza of the Kilchasa, didn't rule this possibility out completely. He wanted maybe mitzaref it b'shas hatcha Gadol. Until as we read there, the Chelkas Yov, was one of his contemporaries, said, you know, you can't accept this, and he backed off from this possibility. So you see, a rabbi can come 100 years ago and rock the whole halachic world to the point even the Gedolei Mamash were considering what he said. This is as a suffix, until it was ultimately rejected. I think I mentioned to you that Rav David Karlina, who was considered the Gadol Hador at the time, was very upset by this possibility, and the Rogachev, I think, also was very upset, and they pushed it away with the back of their hand, and the Maharsham considered it, but at the end of the day, he backed away from it. There are riots back and forth. I'm not going to go into the various riots nowadays. Now, why there's no shlichus by chalitza? It's not based on the pasuk of nalo me'al raglo. So we explained that it's all based on the fact that there's not modest. Rabbi Shimon Shkop explained by Richas that a shlichus, if I create something on the balabas, I can make a shlichus do it for me. But shkamas chalitza, I'm not doing it at all. The Torah is doing it. So the Torah is doing it. So I can't make a shliach. Someone else does it, he's doing it for himself, not for me. And obviously, if it's his own person, it's not the brother-in-law or sister-in-law, it's not work. That's the tifalum, this is to why shlichus does not work, because the person himself or herself are not creating these chalots of heter of chalitza. So the Torah does it. So therefore, no one is able to make a shliach or make it tonight, as we explained by Richas a couple of days ago. Fine. So these are some of the remarkable discussions which come up in this context, the context of our sugi over here. It's interesting. The Ramban, what do you mean, Gadol Omen al Gabav? Every single chalitza is Gadol Omen al Gabav. Why? There has to be a bez in there. So, what do you tell me, a special case of Gadol Omen al Gabav? Every single chalitza is, in fact, Gadol Omen al Gabav. It's interesting what the Ramban says over here. The Ramban says that there's a little bit of das for a cherish and a ketana, v'horaya, that a ketana, according to one opinion at least, on Kufim Beit of Yossi, is choletzes from onas ha-pu'utos, right? And even a shota, we're talking about a shota over here, that's able to write a get. It can't be completely without any das. And the Gemara, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, talks about a shota, shiodas, lishmo kita. In that case, it would perhaps work with Gadol Omen al Gabav. The Tosefta says the shota cannot do any chalitza at all. He explains like a ma'usa. It's like he's in effect forced by the Gadol Omen al Gabav to do what he doesn't really want to do because he can't figure out himself. What that means is, we're talking about a lower level. He's not even a different level of shota. There are many different levels, unfortunately, within what's considered to be a shota. That's Shoteh. Comes to Shotah, the woman, throws in a whole different approach. It's Mishalch of the Choseresh, she's going to go right back to him. Same as it wouldn't work when it comes to get, wouldn't work when it comes to Chalitza. Maybe there'll be no Gminik Hefker, a concept before later on our Masechta with respect to get. Why doesn't he say by Shotah, she didn't do it Lidas? You need Kavan Hashneh when he says by Shoteh. So the answer presumably is, we said before, the answer is the only Yontif. The man is the one who's creating the chalos. But the woman is the lavadido talia milsa. She's the same as she's miscareshes against her will. So too, when it comes to chalitza, you don't need how much hadas so much. And therefore, there's no psul of ma'usa. There's only a psul, different psul, the psul of Shalcha v'chozeres, or Minik Hefka, as the Ramban himself said. Fine. All this is based upon the Tosfos over here on the Kuf Dalem and Beis discussing the issue of Gadol Omen al Gabav. This is all with an assumption, Rabbosai, that we're discussing over here the Sugi of Cheresh. It's the same old Cheresh, same old, as we have throughout Shas. What's Cheresh throughout Shas? Cannot hear, cannot speak. The Yerushalmi disagrees. The Yerushalmi says, no, normally in the Mishnah, that's what it means. But here's an exception. Rebbe doesn't offer that klal, because in our Mishnah, what's the proof of the Yerushalmi? There's always what we call the three stooges, Cheresh, Shota, v'Katan. Here, Shota is conspicuously absent. Teretz is a Yerushalmi, but discussing a Cheresh who can speak but cannot hear. Can't speak but cannot hear. Alright? That's what it says. Can't speak but cannot hear. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, such an individual is a bar dayam. Before Shigmar Chagiga Daveis, such an individual has das. So therefore, we understand very well the answer to Tosfos Kasha. Why doesn't the Gemara invoke the principle of Abnei Deyam? Because they are Abnei Deyam. They're able to speak, just unable to hear. In the Beforshim on the Yerushalmi, they suggest a different case where he can hear but not speak. That is an interesting problem because the word Cheresh doesn't sound that way. That's why the Ritva learned differently, as the Beforshim point out. In any event, Rabbi Osai, the question will be, what will happen if in a situation where they can read and cannot speak? So the Ramban said, look, if he may be able to speak, all right, but if you can't teach him how to speak, that's a terrible chesaron. You can't teach him. If you'd be able to teach him in modern schools, it would be okay. The Ritva says no. Why? The answer. The answer means it's called a kol rum. How do you define kol rum? Kol rum is defined that you speak and the other person hears. Right? So we have a concept when it comes to duchening. Amor lehem, the kol rum. The people, you have to say it in the voice loud enough, they should be able to hear you. Where does it come from? It's a bit of a kasha. Because it says the answer of amra means sounded to the best. It doesn't say the amra low. So that's a bit of a problem. A bit of a problem. In any event, that's what it says. And Ritva understands the Gemara's teretz lav and idea. And Chalitza requires, the Gemara thinks at this point, data tzilsa, even Pikhim can make a mistake on Kuvav Chalot B'kachat HaKonsa. And we can understand very well. Chalitza is a funny ceremony. You pull off a shoe and a woman can be married. It doesn't make so much sense to a typical logical individual. So therefore, you require a higher level of das, at least at this point, to achieve it. And therefore, it's no good, even though normally a person who speaks but cannot hear has das, not enough das with respect to chalitza. That's what we think. The Ramban says that our Gemara thinks initially that we don't accept the idea that a person who speaks but cannot hear is a pikech l'chol dvarav. The Gemara puts it that way in Chagiga Dav Beis. But Agmar hasn't come to that conclusion at that point. The Maskana, it's going to be good. Everyone agrees that the Kriya is Ma'akeves, but there's no Chesaron in the Das. The bottom line is, if your person can hear or not speak, or speak or not hear, we pass on the Halacha that there is considered to be Das. But there were Havaminas to the contrary, based on the Bavli and based upon the Rishalmi, which are quoted over here in the Ritva and the Ramban, here on our sugya. Very interesting, again, possibilities. Fine. Good. Rabosai, the clock is moving. I tell you, I want to give a little bit of hashkaf at the end. So let's just gloss over some of these other more complex topics and get to some of the things which we have to talk about, even if we're going to do it a little bit bekitz. Okay. So we spend a lot of time talking about chalitza. What about rikika? So we already saw, we passed in the rikika as not me'akev. It's not me'akev. Sure, so it's not me'akev. Good. What about somebody who did a rikika, only a rikika? Only a rikika. So there's always a problem, just about the concept of chalitza psula. Poselas alachim. So rikika. Before she gemara, the next gemara kufdalam and base. Yevama shirakaka tachlots michlal to if slalom meachin. She spit. This itself passes her from doing ibum with any of the brothers. Rashi explains. Yevama shirakal lifnei bezdin. That reminds of that Ramban. Tachlots to nifselas alein miibum. So we have a concept of chalitza psula, to poselas alachim, so to rikika, since he poselas alachim. Why? So the Gemara is over here, and Kuf Heyam and Aleph, after a whole discussion, of various psukim, right? Back and forth. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Kiva, that we pass, like Rabbi Kiva is not me'akev, so it's still passels. I, Kriya, does not passel. What's the difference? They're both not me'akev. What's Maishna Rabbi Kiva, Maishna Kriya? Kriya, the Isa Be'em, Tchila Be'em, Sof, Lo Michlefa Le, Rikika, Lo Michlefa Le, Rikika, the Tchila Lesa, the Sof Isa, Michlefa Le, V'osi Le Mishri Chalutza Le'achin, Rabosai. It's a problem. They're going to make a mistake on a simple level. Rashi explains, what does it mean? What will happen? You'll see a Rikika. You'll assume it was a previous Chalitza, which is incorrect. But if you want to make that assumption, so then you may, in the next case, find someone who did a Chalitza and nonetheless allow that individual to go through with the Yibum. Look, Sarah did it. After Rikika, we mistakenly assumed there was a previous Chalitza and started Yibam afterwards. So therefore Rivka, who did a Chalitza and a Yibam Beferish, can also do it, which is would be a terrible mistake. That's the Poshup Shot in the Gemara here on the Kufay Manav. The problem is the Rambam. The Rambam makes a lot of problems. Our problem, we don't understand the Rambam. Rambam has no problems. It's our problems. The Rambam writes in Perek Dalet in Hilchos Yibam Vechalitza, Halacha Yud Dalit, as follows: Rokka Bulvad, Shalom Cholps of Lo Kora, etc., etc., Chalitza Psula, but Kora of Lo Cholza, Velo Rokka, and Lok, Osaklum, Shenemar, Kocha Yosalish, Hamasa Shu Chalitza Rakiko Hushamo, Avla Kriya Enemo Akevas Enemo Elis. So the Mephoroshimis, the Magad Mishnah says, it's against the Gemara. It's against the Gemara. Sounds like he's saying it's a Din D'Orais over here. Whereas we know full well, it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. It's a Pella. It's against the Gemara Mephoreshes. Masha Maskonis and Gemara, says the Magad Mishnah, Rikik Ene Poselis Halim B'D'Rabbanan. Nothing to do with Xeris HaKotzim of Kochi Osel Ish. A different word, Osel Achlufi. That's the problem. What's going on over here? And Rabbi Kiva doesn't dash in this drasha of Kocha Yosel Ish. Why? Because he says, Masha B'Ish, Chalitza B'Davka. Rabbi Loz holds this way. Rabbi Loz holds Rikikas Ma'akev. We don't hold like him. So, hey, Chasim Rabbeinu Drasha Shor Rabbi Loz, Tzorachin Li. So the Magad Mishnah ends up with a Tzorachin, a double Tzorachin, against Shitas HaRambam, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Dalet. So the Karen Ora discusses this at some length. It gives a much more a textual answer. You have to worry about the first Lashon in the Gemara. You have to worry about the what we call the Ika de Amri in the Gemara. I'm not going to go into all those Pratim. Gzeira l'gzeira. A whole Arichas. But I'd rather share with you, because of time considerations, what I consider to be a more lumdish teretz of the Oneg Yontif. Oneg Yontif says it's false. He starts talking about a Yam Shel Shlomo. Mordechai in Siman Nun Zayin says that a woman should be very careful not to spit when she comes to Bezin before the Chalitza, because we're afraid. Once it's Rokaka, she's passed to all the Achim, Chalitza Psulach, Tzor Lazar al Kolach. So the Yam Shel Shlomo at Siman Chav Gimel goes on a tirade. It's number one. I don't hold from the whole din of Tzricha Lazar al Kolach ever. You look back on the Chav Avim Beis, it's only one day in certain cases, and we don't accept it. That's his prejudice. That's where his bias, where he's coming from. That's to begin with. But beyond that, Rabbi Osai, Rikika. Rikika is nothing. Rikika is nothing. Rikika doesn't mean anything. It's what is it? Rikika and Chalitza is one big process. So if you're talking about a case where a woman spits, and then Rabosai, after she spits, everyone leaves. After she spits, everyone leaves. Now there's a pilpul in the sugya. Can it be chalitza or no chalitza? Oh, a shail. But once it's in one setting, and this Rabosai, we keep saying, we spent a lot of time talking about the kfiyas of Bezdin, etc., as a din de rabbanim. But kein d'oraisa tikkun, because according to this Rabosai, the din d'oraisa over here, relevant to whether a rikika should be done. There was a chalitza and then they broke up, maybe there's no need for any rekika anymore. If they're still in one sitting, you have to do the rekika. Or equally, even more important, the rekika was done before the chalitza. If it's in one sitting, we're not going to say, oh, rekika passes. That's ridiculous. So then he has to call the Rabbi Lezer, that requires chalitza and rekika. Every chalitza should pass it. Every single case of chalitza should require chizur. That's ridiculous. It can't be. The answer is, you're doing chalitza and rekika in one sitting. So the seder is not me'akev, as we saw that in Avkuv Amid Beis. It's all one big thing. So if a woman walks into bed and then she, some poskim say that she has to wear a shawl and make sure she, if she has to spit, she should walk out of the room and spit into the shawl. No, it's all one big thing. Even if you'll consider it to be a rekika, it's all one big process. A rekika chalitza, chalitza rekika. The seder is not me'akev. So writes the Yam Shel Shlom. Oh, he thinks that Ani Yonder thinks the Yam Shel Shlomo is correct. It's correct. And he quotes the Beis Shmuel, that if they split up, there's no need to come bring them back in order to do a rekika. Oh. And our whole Gemara, Rabbi Osai, is referring to a case of rekika, is not talking whether it was a chalitza immediately afterwards in Bezin, it's the same sitting. No, not at all. Because if you look, and he bases it on a diuk, Rabbi Osai, in the lashon of Rashi, the Rashi sounds like he's saying, this way, Rashi Kuf Dal and the Beis b'Mokom Mitzvah, right? B'Shas Chalitza Sherekika Mitzvah. So implying that that's in our sugya, it's Shalom B'Shas Chalitza. If you look carefully in the Rashi, you'll see that the only Yontif is correct. Is correct. Oh, so now what do you do with the Rambam? The Kasha and the Rambam before. So, he quotes the Al-Shukh says it's a din d'oraisa. Why? Because if it's a din d'rabbanon, it should passel even without any kavana. Because the person who sees doesn't know whether it's kavana or not kavana. And the fact that it only passels with kavana, that's the Russian Simon Yod Aleph, right? Why don't you just tell it to spit and it'll passel? There it says you have to have kavana. That indicates that perhaps it's a din d'oraisa. It's a bit of a dochak, says the only Yontif, that the Rambam, because of the Kasha of the Rosh, changed it. He doesn't believe that. He has a different interpretation. I think it's a very beautiful interpretation. It goes like this. The Lashon of the Rambam, is as follows. Rokoko b'lvad, shalokholtza lo koro, shiroko v'koro lo cholza, harezu ka chalitza psula. This sounds like it's purely a din d'rabbanan. So here's the vart. It's a lumdish vart. Not the way the Poshim Shah and the Gemara is a straightforward gzera, you know. They'll think there was a previous chalitza. It says, nuh-uh. We give more credit to our balabatim. They have a good sense. They understand the balabatim that rekika is what he calls a part of the matir. In fact, that rekika comes after the chalitza, it's not just a chronological quirk. No, it's a conceptual and fundamental point that rekika is an integral part of the matter, even though it's not ma'akev, very comparable to emurim. We're staying away from the kachim, but you know a little bit about kachim. Emurim, akrabas emurim, is not ma'akev the karbon, but it's certainly an integral part of the akrabas akrabon itself. Oh, so therefore, Abosai, they made a gzeira on rekika alone. They treat it as a chalitza psula. Harezu ka chalitza psula. You know why? Because it's part of the matir. So, but the rabbanon they treated it as if it's a chalitza psula, as opposed to the kriya. That's not matir at all. Where's the Gemara say that? Oh, because the kriya exists bein betchila bein besof. That's the Gemara says. It's not just chronology. The fact that's not the reason, if you will. That's a simon. Rashi. That's the reason. Kol deram now is much more lomdish. That's the simon. That's a simon. That is only at the end, is that it's a part of the matir. And they made a gzeira even by rekika alone. Rekika without chalitza, which is not a matir at all, but they made it here rekika, there rekika, is similar. As opposed to the kriya, it's not part of the matir at all. He says, you know, he has a kash, he thinks it's a gevaldig gepshat. According to Rashi, it's just a matter that the kriya can exist before. Wait a second. There are three different kriyas, right? You saw them in the Kuvah Beis. Kara'ah, Kara'ah, Kara'ah. What happened if they if she happens to give the third pasuk, which is normally recited after the chalitza, so that would possibly, don't find such a thing. This is the beautiful lumdus of the oneg yontif. There's a discussion, and what if shadow of migzeres akosuf? Right, that it's apparently he uses this lashon based on Tosfos Kasha. I'm not going to go into the details of that right now because we don't have the time. But that's the lumdus of the oneg yontif, explaining the shitas of Rambam and explaining why he actually said this. Good. Now, Rabbi Osai, let us continue in our analysis of the of Chayrish and Kota. Let's just take a look a little bit more, because there's a Rambam on this too. We go from one Rambam to the other Rambam. This is Dalad Yud Dalad. Now we go to Dalad Yud Gimel. Bamed v'amurim shayucholim ledaber sharein ruyin likros. And if they didn't say it, it's no problem. Avol ilaim ilames ol ilaim einen cholzim v'mcholzu chalitzosim psula. Catch this now. Ve'einon kecheresh v'chareshes shecholzu shelo osu klum. V'shecheresh v'chareshes einon b'nei das. It's a pella on so many levels. One, it seems to be against the Gemara. That's the first thing. Why is it against the Gemara? Because the Gemara, Eino Klum, you know where you find Eino Klum? Sure, on Kuf Hamid Beis, with respect to Kotta. Om Rav Yudah Marav, Zudiv Rav Meir. Rashi says, Chalitza's Ben Kotta. Fine. Ben Tess has some meaning. Av HaChachamim Omrim, Ein Chalitza's Kotta Klum. Nowhere did the Gemara say that what? Ein charlitzas cheresh klum. So the Rambam seems to be number one against the Gemara. Right? That's the number one kasha against this Rambam. It's a good kasha. It's against the Gemara. Oh. And the second kasha is, wait a second. What do you mean ein b'nei das? The Gemara throws in other reasons. We saw that we had other reasons. So the Mishnah of Yaakov, we gave a teretz that other reasons go according to Rabbi Lez that we pass like the Rabbanan and Kufyud Gimel and Aleph. But that not everyone holds from that teretz. These are the kashim which confront the Magad Mishnah over here on this Rambam. The long Magad Mishnah explains what's going on. So let's try to analyze what the Magad Mishnah says to answer this Shver Rambam. So on a textual level, he says the following answer. You remember, when it comes to Kotan and Ketana, so the Gemara Zudiv Rav Meir holds it something. Chachamim say, Ein Chalitza's Kotan Klum. The reason why the Gemara didn't say it by Cheresh and Chereshes, suggests Magad Mishnah, because even Rabbi Meir agrees that it's Ein Klum. The Gemara has it over here because of Rav Meir's unique shita when it comes to Kotan, that it means something. So we say that Chacham says Eino Klum. When it comes to Cheresh and Cheresh, even Rabbi Meir agrees that it's Eino Klum. Even Rabbi Meir agrees it's Eino Klum. Okay, that's one possibility. Now, the Karen Ora says that the Rambam holds like the Ritva's Gora Pella. What does that mean? That our Gemara, like the Yerushalmi, is talking about a Cheresh Ha, either medaber v'ena shemer shemena v'ena medaber. As we spoke about before, the Yerushalmi, the Ritva versus the Pnei Moshe, the first one of the Yerushalmi. But the Rambam is not discussing that. Rambam is discussing a case of an absolute cheresh and chereshes. They don't hear, they don't speak. Therefore, it's lav b'nei das. Therefore, it's eino klum. So the whole Gemara is not discussing the Rambam's case, according to the Karen Oros Chap. The Gemara is referring to the case where either he speaks and doesn't hear, or hear doesn't speak. And Rambam is referring to a case where neither hears nor speak. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't say lav b'nei das. Rambam says does say lav b'nei das. The Gemara doesn't say eino klum. Rambam does say eino klum. That's how the Karen Ora takes care of the problem, assuming that the Rambam held like that sheet of the Yerushalmi, and he's talking about a different case. Fine. The Magad Mishnah also suggests a textual answer. Yes, it's true. The Gemara is referring over here to Kotan. When it comes to Cheresh, we don't have any. There's no source in Shas. We rely on the Tosefta. Tosefta says in Perigidav Alochates that Cheresh is like a cotton, and cotton we pass, and it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. That's what he says. Oh. But back now, Rabbi Osai, to our favorite for this sugya, who is the Oneg Yontif. Ah, Oneg Yontif. He makes the following comment. And you know what? Let's go to the Lashon of the Mishnah. Look in the Lashon of the Mishnah. He's medayik every word in the Mishnah. Kuvdal and Amid Beis. Look at this diuk in every word. The Gemara says as follows: Hacheresh shenechlatz, v'achereshet shecholtza, v'choletes lekoton, chalitzos apsula. What does that mean? He says like this: Choletes lekoton. What does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? It means you have to look a little carefully over here. Is there a din chalitza or is there no din chalitza? When it comes to cheresh and chereshet, the Rambam says ain't a klum. You know why? You know why? It just says nechlatz and cholza. That's a physical description. It's a physical description. Like I took off my shoe before I went to sleep last night. I took off my shoe. It's true. I hope you took off your shoe. You're not supposed to sleep in your shoes tonight, right? So the physical description of what happens, nothing to do with anything halachic. That's why it's ain't a klum. That's where the Rambam got it from. Nothing. And everyone agrees it's nothing. As opposed to our Mishnah goes to Rav Meir, when it comes to cotton, they use the halachic terminology, right? They say, choletes lekotan means it has certain halachic significance. According to Rav Meir, according to Chachamim, it's ain't a klum. That's what the Anigyantiv is medayik. And that's why the Gemara here is deriving, according to the first Lashon and Rava, Elaim from a Cheresh. What do you mean, Elaim from a Cheresh? It's exactly the same thing. It's Hainu Hach. He quotes Gemara Roshana. Hainu Hach. It's exactly the same thing. So he says, no, that it's worse, because a Cheresh is not a Bardas, indicating that the Rambam Shita may be correct. And he explains as follows. Kavanas Chalitza is not so... Kavona Kali, both the Ramban and the Chidush, which we spoke about at some length. It's nothing much. Nothing much. Anyone can almost do it. Right? And a Cheresh perhaps can have that much Kavona. You know why? It's enough, Rabbi Osai, to think about it in advance. This is a lumdus, I guess a psychologist will agree to this. If you prep someone in advance who has a low mental capacity, you prep him. So he figures it out. Okay, we'll figure out. Explain it. You take off a shoe. This helps to release the Zika. All this can be explained. Okay. The problem is that the Rambam requires a kavana for the kriya. Oh, kavana for the kriya. That's what we said before. That you need kavana for kriya, and you don't have it. Why is that so critical? Why is that so difficult to muster, the kavanah for kriya? The answer is because that has to be done in real time. Can't do that earlier. Has to be done right then and there. And therefore, it's not going to work earlier. That's what he says. Ein bahem das likros olahavin. Perek vav alachavav. That has to be done At that time, can't be prepared, if you will, earlier. In this Nupshan Ramam, Ein Aror L'Kriya means you don't have Das, and therefore it's nothing and doesn't even passel. That's based on the Rambam. Oh, what's Rava talking about over here? The whole sugya of Rava. Rava requires what's called Onas HaNedarim. What does Onas HaNedarim mean? 12 years old or 11 years old, a year before Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Why? Not because of Kavanas Chalitza, explains the Onig Yontif. For that would be enough, what's called Onas HaPautos, which is a younger age, 8 years old, approximately. But you need Kavanas HaKriya. You need Kavanas HaKriya. That requires to be almost Bar and Bas Mitzvah. This is how the Onig Yontif is trapped in this difficult Rambam. Before taking leave of the Rambam, one more Nakuda from the Beis Halevi. He explains as follows. Again, I can't have time to be medayik in the Lashonis now, but he is medayik very nicely in the Lashonis of the Mishnah, based upon the Tosfos we saw on Tzadi Vavim and Aleph. What Tosfos says is a machloikas between Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar. We spoke about it already before, where the Chalitza Psula, in some of the cases, Poselas, or does not Pasel. And Tosfos explains, the shayla is our Mishnah going according to Rabbi Meir or going according to the Rabbanan? The Rambam paskins Lekula, that's Eina Poselas, as he passes by Anpalia, and against the Rashba paskins Lechumra, like Shmuel. There's a Machlokas by Cheresh, it's the same Machlokas. The Rashba's machmir, the Magen Mishnah quotes it l'chumra, because he holds his pasels like Shmuel, and the Rambam l'shitoso, Bampalya, that doesn't pasel, he pasel like Rabbi Lazar. Oh, so Memeler Abosai, the word Einam ben Das, what does it mean? What does it mean? He's not using the expression of Einam ben Das. So everyone is until now assumed that explains why their chalitza is no good. So that's not true. It's not true. It's not true at all. He's explaining. We know why it's no good. It's no good for other reasons. It's not b'nei kriya, whatever the other case may be. It's no. He's explaining why it's so nothing that it doesn't even make a chalitza psula. That's why he's explaining. In other words, not the pshat, cheresh v'chareshes enem b'nei das, and therefore their chalitza is not kosher chalitza. No, not a kosher chalitza for other reasons, as the Gemara puts it. He's explaining over here, why doesn't even passel? Why doesn't even passel? And the rest is textual, you can look it up basically. We have to cut it, because we want to end the halachic part before going a little hashkaf. Okay, good. Rabosai. This all talks about the case of kotel. What about a ktana? Take a look over here. Ktana, Rabosai. Ktana is not the same as a cotton necessarily. Take a look over here in Kuf Heim and Base. We're in striking distance, Rabosai. We're in Kuf Heim and Base. Let's go. Tosis Ktana. Ktana shacholzo tachlots misha tagdil. Vimlo cholzo chalitzosa pesula. Okay. Fim toma amaylo or vetoni luktana b'adei cheresh v'chareshes v'kotten. Why is Tana a separate member in the Mishnah? Yesh lomar, should the b'ktana poligar b'yosi v'gemara? He holds a ktana's kosher. Okay? So you ask the kasha, yikom okom, keima de tana psula, my tana shtetachos mishetagdil. Just say psula. Obviously you have to do it again. Both the tana b'kotten, yesh lomar. Tila have a tana b'ktana have a minu. The chalitzos of psula mid the rabbanon. So the makshin and isha liish ainem in a torah. Lachi tani tachlis mishat tagdil yitolash nashminan. The chalitzos ktana ain a klum kamol chalitzos cotton. Because the gemara dashes over here on daf kufayim at base. That's chazer again. Ktana shacholti rab meir ish ksi beparsha. The makshin isha liish chavim say no ish ksi beparsha isha ben bigdola ben ktana ish ksi beparsha. And Ish, only Ish, not Isha. Who is Rav Yossi Shita? He doesn't hold from the Hekesh of Isha Liish. So Tosis is saying, according to Rabbi Meir, the Hekesh is a Din D'Oraisa. And to emphasize that, they say Tachas Mishatag. It's all according to our gears. Umiyu Birishal Migasina B'Seder HaMishnah Tachas Mishatag Delvim Lo Cholta Chalitzasa Ksheira Mashu Shesova Dod Makish Rav Meir Isha Liish Hanim the Rabbanon, Av Rav Yosi Chuletzis Lachatchila. Whoa, this is amazing. So there's two different girsos. What's the status of Ketan? Okay, that's a shaila. Now, how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? So there's a discussion over here towards the end of the Gemara here, towards the end of the beginning of the wide lines. Om Rav Ami Midrasha Berebi Rav Yosi Nilmo Ktana Choletzes Bepuutos. She has that level of intelligence. Rava Omar Achetagia Leonis and the Dorin, even more intelligence. Vehilchasa Achetovi Shtei Saros. No, Pasuk Halacha LeMaisa. She has to be a Gedola Mamish Bas Mitzvah 12 years old and Shtei Saros. That's what we paskin, which seems perhaps to be going against the Mishnah. Mishnah doesn't say that, but the Magen Mishnah suggests. But that's how we paskin. If less, according to the Gears of Psula, some suggest it's only a din de Rabbanan, and some pasta gabiosi midaraisa, even a ktana would be good. A whole discussion how to paskin halacha lemaisa in this very thorny question. So how do we paskin lemaisa? Shulchan Aruch. Look at Shulchan Aruch. Have to see Shulchan Aruch. That's how we see what we do. So in Shulchan Aruch, Rabosai. In Simon Kuf Samach Tes, Sif Mem Tes, Shulchan Aruch says, Ktana Shecholta Legolo Chalitzos Apsula, V'Nivsula Al Kol Achim. וכשתג דל תחלץ ביחד מהם, ואין עוד צריכו להחזר על כל האחים. Why not? Why not? The Rambam says that it's chalitza psula. If it's chalitza psula, the chorus should have to have chizer al kol ha'achim. So what's going on over here? The Ramos paskening against the Rambam? The answer is yes. He's paskening against the Rambam because the Rambam is a centrist. He's in the middle. He considers it to be a chalitza psula. But there are two extreme views. One is that it's chalitza ksheira. That's a gears of the Yerushalmi, in which case ksheira. Even though it says in the Mishnah the chatchila tachlos v'shatagel, not for every single brother. That's on the one extreme. The gears of ksheira. On the other extreme, on both sides, there were those who maintain that chalitza ktana ain't a klum. That's according to many other Rishonim. So the Rambam is in the middle. It's the oldest, and then the Rabbanon, we follow the Rav Poskim against the Rambam. That's how the Beis Shmuel Os Mem quotes in Truma Sedeshin, which is the source of the Ramah, why we pass in its Ein Shul Lachas Al Kolachim, for one of two opposite reasons. Either because the first Chalitza was basically good, or the first Chalitza was basically zero. the middle is always the most dangerous place to be. That's the Rambam Shita, so we don't have to worry about the Rambam. Since worst case scenario, we're talking over here about a din derabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. That's what it says over here. Oh, yes.
We know the Rambam holds the last block in the
man. Well, let's look in the Rambam and see what he says. Every word in the Rambam is gold, as we well know. The Rambam is found over here. In let's find it. One minute, please. Second. Let's take a look. Find the Rambam. Hold on slowly. Rambam. Perek Aleph Halacha Yudches. Kishem Shein Ayovim Cholitz Ad Sheyaseh Ish, Kach Ayovim Lo Tachlotz Ad Sheteyaseh Isha Gedola. That's the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Yudches. That's where he quotes the actual din. Second. Perek Dalid Halacha Tezayin. Rambam writes, "V'chein k'tana shecholtz legadol chalitzas apsula." Okay. Now, chalitzas apsula, generally speaking, means that it's nifsla kol ha'achim. And the chizur is a different story. You know, that's an issue which, I guess, you can be mitzayef. I guess Shitas Marashal, who denies chizur legamre. I don't think the Rambam was Truma Sedeshin wasn't being mitzayef that, to the best of my knowledge. But you're right, y'all. That'll be another tzad to be makel in this shadow. Okay, good. Thank you. Now, the Beis Shmuel, we just quoted Sivkot Nun, which is a little citing others. There's another Beis Shmuel Sivkot Mem Tes. Tana, if you hold that Rishonim will say it is poselas, it is a chalitza psula, I told him it's das. Because then you say, oh, she has das. It's only a question of hukash isha le'ish, which according to some is a midirabana. She's not a bas das, it's nothing. It's nothing, it's zero. Karen Orr says no. Maybe it's balich lal das. It's different than a chereshes. It's a whole discussion, which for lack of time, I'm not going to go into. I want to discuss very, very briefly, we spent a lot of time the first time around, and we just did it a couple of weeks ago, maybe less, about the idea of shnei saras. So shnei saras is absolute requirement when it comes to chalitza, and the Gemara is in Mefurish and Masechta Nida, the Rif quotes it over here, that we cannot rely on what we call chazaka derava. Chazaka derava is a person becomes bara, bas mitzvah. By age, we assume that there are shnei saras. And the mainstream position, which is the Mefurish, Ramban, and Masechta Chulin, and the Pranim favors this as well in Orach Chaim and Hilchos Bar Mitzvah Siman Nun Hey, is that the miut of individuals who reach the age of 12 and 13 respectively for a girl and a boy and do not have Shnei Saras is a miut hamotzui, and therefore we're not permitted to assume that the individual has Shnei Saras. Miut hamotzui require bedika. However, the bedika is very lack of tznius and it can be inaccurate. So therefore, when it comes to the Rabbonons, we say that we follow Chazaka the Rava. And if everybody mitzvah who lanes, davens for the Yamad, and the bench to Mezumin, we don't check them out. We're allowed to rely on that for the Rabbonons, the whole people, but not for now, where the Zeman is the Rabbonon of the Rice. Rabbi said, who benched at his own bar mitzvah, benched for the Mezumin? Anybody? None of you? It's a machma these days. Okay. When I grew up, they always gave the bar mitzvah on the bench. Oh, give him a coast. No one in the room. Nobody. Zero. Okay. I guess no machmir. There are posts with that. Zeman's the rice. Okay. In any event, the Gemara only says that we rely upon Chazak al Rava for miyun, lechumra, for keret. That once 12 or 13 is reached, you cannot do a miyun. Never says beferish in the Gemara that you can rely upon a lekula for the Rabbanim. So Bikiva Eger suggests in the Tshuva that in point of fact, you cannot rely on Chazak al-Dirava even for the Rabbanans because there's nowhere in Shas. Does it say so? It doesn't say anywhere that you can rely upon it. Nowhere. It depends a little bit on the issues which we talk about here in our sugya, what would we or would we not rely on Chazaka Derava for? Halacha Lamaisa, the Bialacha suggests, Nismale Zakono, you don't have to check even for Doraisis. Where did it come from? Based on the Tosis, they're both saying that payment based on the Sechta Yavamas. Not going into all the details now, the Beis Shmuel and the Gra. Say Tosis doesn't say anything. Lahoyed Vameon, there's nothing there, nothing in the Tosis. Just doesn't say anything about this Nakuda. Maybe it wouldn't work. So my pshat, the reason why it works is as follows: the miut of 13-year-olds who have no Saras is a miut hamotzi. The miut of Nismale Zakono, of course, that this is not the ultimate simon. The simon is simon atachta. The miyat of Pula of Nismale Zakono on top and no simon on the bottom is a miyat she'eno matzui, and miyat she'eno matzui you don't require bedika. What is a big fight is the Magen Avraham statement. If you're 18 years old, then if you I'm sure there's some people in this room at 18 didn't shave at all. Not to be ashamed about. That's people mature from that perspective at different stages in life. And the Magen Avraham suggested that at that point in time, 18, come on. They say back, come on, what do you mean? There's no basis in Shas for this Magen Avraham. So it's really difficult to rely upon, but the Magen Avraham said it, and maybe he's working with an assumption that 18 years old is also the Miyat that don't have Shnei Saras and Miyat Shena Matzah. But there's no source in Shas for that assertion. There's also a discussion of who does the checking. Oh. So the Mordechai in Siman Nun Zayin says that a woman can check the Isha for Chalitza, but Siru of Chazak Adarav. She's 12 years old, so even though we're not Chazak Adarav by itself, even though we normally maybe are Shnei Edim Kshayim men, here we're Mekel with respect to a woman, but Siru of Chazak Adarav. It's also a discussion of Bedikas Dadim, which is considered as a Siman HaElyon, and by a woman it's impossible for the Elyon to come before the Tachton. For a man, it's a little bit possible, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. We're not going to go into that Nakud. It's interesting. The Rabbi Kivega suggests the reason we rely upon an Isha Achas for a woman is it's a Gnai for a man to check. But for when it comes to a boy, it's not such a Gnai. It's like, the mikveh, whatever it is. You need two, because it's Davish HaBiyarva. However, Pesachei Tshuva himself, when he quotes it, says maybe Rabbi Kiva only said it if you're going to rely upon Shnei Saras. Shnei Saras, it's hard to check so carefully. it's a ribui saris, many, many saris, it's a musavir l'gluye, where we have more makel based upon one, we saw sugan aflam a testament base, to that effect. Fine. Oh. The question becomes a serious question. Let's say you found Shnei Saras. The Gemara is Mefurish and Mesechta Nida, and the Rif quotes it here, that any Sarah which developed before by mitzvah doesn't count. It's a Shuma B'Alma. So how are you going to know that this, the hair that you find is in fact something which developed after the boy turned by mitzvah? How do you know? So Tosfos says Nida. Well, the preferred thing is to check before and then check after. You know, you ever see those pictures before and after? You know, the weight loss, before and after, or the cure of organization, the before and after, you know. The before and after picture. That's a before and after check. Okay, very nice. Very nice. It's a good idea. The Maisa, we don't do that. We just don't do it. I guess we rely on the fact that at least if it's Ribui Saris, at least some of them grew after that time when they turned 13 or turned 12. The problem becomes, this is raised by the Achronim, that is a dispute how long the hair has to be to count. Three different opinions. So, how's it possible the guy's bar mitzvah, see, he's bar mitzvah on Shabbos, and he lanes the same day and davens for the Yomud, and maybe benches mezuzah and counts for a minyan, all these things. Mamanisha, you need a certain length. It's a machlokas yochef rosh liikro, or nitilas hazug, or a kritzas tzipranayim, different opinions. So, if the hair is long enough today, it presumably, things don't grow that fast. It existed above the minimal shear yesterday. So, how can it count as a sarah? Maybe it's only a shuma. That's the kasha which is raised, a very good kasha. It always bothered me, this kasha. Maybe if it's ribu saras, you can assume that one of the saras passed the various thresholds. Three different thresholds exist in the Gemara, in the Mishnah Nida, which is quoted by the Rif and Al Sugya. One of those thresholds was passed by two saras at least, based on the fact that there's a healthy male, and the saras are growing all the time. That has to be our assumption when we assume that every bar mitzvah bach is able to count for a minyan, and we never check them in advance, so you don't check them at all. That's our minhag. I told you a story where somebody once checked someone on the underarm and found Shnei Saris, and they were able to lay in Pasha Zocha Daraisa, which I did not approve of. Number one, Gaba and Krasis and Machlokas are the means. According to the Rama, it just means with Malcolm Erva. Nothing else counts. Number two, what if they would have found nothing? Maybe wouldn't be lay in his Bar Mitzvah Pasha, Bibshuto. Unless you'll say they would have had Saris and they fell out. Because it was not a smart thing to do, if you ask me. But I'm just telling you, Maisa Shoy happened 25 years ago. Yes?
According to this, then the day that a kid becomes bar mitzvah, he should not be able to do anything with Rezi because he doesn't have Shei Saros. Definitely.
No. So, first of all, the one day hold, the day before counts for Benetan. Erev bar mitzvah. Number two, well, look, he's bar mitzvah at Shkia, and I guess the Shnei Saros came right after that. Yeah, it's a good kasha. How can he daven for the Yamad Marif? Let's say a guy is by mitzvah on Shabbos, he's a good voice, and he's been chavim Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos, anybody can say Kabbalah Shabbos. But Baruch Hu, I guess, there's nothing real about that, but it comes to, he's not being most intimate too much. A cotton can maybe say Baruch Hu. But it comes to Chazaras HaShas, the next day, about 12 hours past, he already had Shnei Saros. I have to say something along those lines. You're right, it's a bit of a problem, but we just went over it a little bit lightly. I want you to sort of finish up, because I really want to end this man if I can. And I want to talk a little bit about Hashkafa too, so we'll try to do as best we can. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Gemara of Beino Lebeino. What's over here, Abosai, on Afkuf Heyam and Beis, Beino Lebeino Miyadana, Eidim Roan Osim Mibachutz. Leads to a whole discussion, which is going to be Mekatzer, and we spoke a little bit in our Psicha, about whether you need Eidim for Yibim Endo Chalitza, and whether you need Eidei Kiyum. The Nesivis quotes our Gemara, which says, Bachutz, he says, wait a minute, when it comes to Kiddushin, Yibachutz won't work, If the guy gives a girl a ring and he doesn't know that someone's hiding behind the fence, that's nothing. Whereas over here, the Gemara seems to say that it really works. It really works. That's a significant question. Why should it work? Speaking of Eidim, before we get into the Lumdus, B'kiveg is Medayik from our Gemara, that aside from the five Dayanim, you need two additional Eidim. That's what we do. Halacha L'maisa, we do it that way, as based on the Sukkos of Karav Apostle. Not going into all the details. The Mishnah sounds like it's on Kuf Dal and the Beis a little bit, perhaps. Fine. But the Nemuka Yosef has run out of two terutzim in the Ritva. In the Ritva itself, it's much more clear. It's much more clear. If you want to see the Ritva, we haven't seen anything inside. Let's take a look. We saw a few Gemaras. Why don't you look at the Ksonis Pasim? Remember him? Ksonis Pasim? He's on the Yalkut Mefarshim at the back of the Rif. Let's see if you can remember. I forgot what page it's on already. Maybe you can remind me where it is. Where he discusses the issue of whether you need Shnei Eidim when it comes to... Oh, here it is. It's on page Kuf Nun Tes in our print. He quotes the Lashon of the Ritva because in the Mugi Yosef mixes in two Terutzim. Oh, column 2, the fifth line. Zelashon Ritva. Okay? Beino lebeino miyadana, pirish de boda osan lo sagi. Fiaf al pisha biyodo lachlots, kanamina hosom, the baal shama garashi is ishti, shafila la haboy no nemo le garmi, kanamina is hosom zil chushla, period. So it's a question of demons. Fiyesha pirish tochi koma. Mino yadi zare ein dova shabi eva poros mishnaim. Fiyamina liel shama cholts a sana shalechot mehem, bifnei edem koma. Umay de parcha socha mino yadana lav davka locha, mino yadi de mahanya shafilu Hey modim, for you nemonim etzleinu, eleinu ain't a klum. Kevin shayu ben olu ben olu below edim. Where they come a gerashti yisishi below edim, or kidashti below edim, shayinu klum v'nochanu. So the second teretz in the Ritva says, nidei dekim, as we call them. Whereas the first teretz seems to disagree. I'm not going into the other technical details, Rebbe will say, at the present time. So this is a shayla. Frekta nesivis, gevalt. If you need Eidei Kiyum, how does it help if you're looking from behind the fence? That's the problem. What's going on over here? It's a serious question. The Nesivis is the one at the end of Siman Lamed Vav has a lengthy tshuva about this, a very complicated question that he dealt with. And he says the fact that Eidei B'chutz works indicates you do not require Eidei Kiyum. Because by Kiddushin, it wouldn't work. Oh, says Rav Shimon, and back to our psicha again, you're right. Eidei Kiyum is a din in Das Tava Shabiyarva. And it comes to Chalitza, you only need Kavana. You don't need Das. It's Rav Chaim explained by Kitzer. You don't need Eidei Kiyum. But perhaps you still would need two Eidim, as we call Eidei Birur. Eidei Birur, just to know what happened. And as we spoke a little bit, the Minchas Chinuch says, whether you require the birur for chalitza and or yibum will depend on the sugin tzadi beis and beis, what her status is. Can she marry somebody else in the interim, which is a shemeres yavam? Fine. It's interesting that the Mishnah Lemelech says anuchas yibum. Since yibum works ba'anusim, I think it's the yeshena, you don't need edekim. Some say, what does that mean? Reb Chaim, you know exactly what it means. So it's a very nice discussion here. Whether you need Eidei Kiyum or not, in the halacha of Yibum or Chalit. Fine. And that Kuvav, where I'm talking to the last half an hour, moving right along. Kuvav Amad Aleph, this is recent Chazara. The Gemara talks about Chalit Mutas, and the Gemara says that it's kosher. What does it mean? A Tanai. Not a Tanai, because the Kohen that he didn't have Kavanah to be Matrit. You're going to get $200. Even though you're going to get the $200, the chalitza is good anyway. Why? Ain't tonight by chalitza. Why? Not when they go to Bnei Reuven. Frek the Yeshua Yaakov, the following kasha. And we saw of Shizgal Zal, when he was a bacher, he asked Rav Moshe the kasha. He was a teenager. If you do the arithmetic, when he was mamash a teenager, and when he asked Rav Moshe this kasha, which Yeshua Yaakov asked as well. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav, Alocha Yizayin, Luchas Ishus, that the tonight of Almanas or Meachshav, you don't need the halachas of B'nei God of B'nei Reuven. The halacha that we saw in the Rashi, the top Rashi, Kumam and Aleph. Efshe b'shliach is from B'nai Gad or B'nai Ruvain. If that's the case by Chalitza, we always have to use Me'achshe, otherwise it's Kolsa. So then why in the world by Chalitza is there a problem of less of b'shliach, less of b'tnai from B'nai Gad or B'nai Ruvain? But you don't need B'nai Gad or B'nai Ruvain according to this Shita when it comes to the ideas of Me'achshe. This is the Kasha which the Yeshua Siakov asked, and Rav Shizkel asked Rav Moshe. I want to share briefly some of the literature on this kasha. It's a good kasha. Yeshua Yaakov asked the kasha. Yeshua Yaakov said, Evshar de Shliach is different and applies even by a Tanai of Me'achshav. Why? Because the Ksubas, Tosa Ksubas Ayandala says it's not biyodo. It's not biyodo, you cannot impose a Tanai. What's the lumdus? The Chaim's lumdus. You're not in charge. The Torah does it. You don't do it. So you cannot make a shliach. You cannot make a tonight. Chaim, Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Shimon, they all saying exactly the same yisod in somewhat different ways. However, the other halachas of tonight kofut, tonight konal alav, tonight konal lemais, tonight konal alav, all those of nusach atonight. Nusach atonight is derived from Negod ibn Ruvain, which is only im, not me'achshav. But here, the B'nai Gad or B'nai Ruvain is a different word. The lumdus is that it's not biyodah, you're not in charge. And that idea, not in charge, applies to Me'achshav as well. Rav Shimon said it along those lines, but a little bit different. He said that the chesaron of Hein Kon Olav, Tnai Kon Lemaisa, and Tnai Kofel already mentioned yesterday, is in effect a chesaron in the what he means. In order to make sure you really mean that it shouldn't be effective, if the tonight is not fulfilled, you have to have a kofel, hein kon olav, and tonight kon lemaisa. Oh, so he says if you use the word me'achshav, your intention is more clear, and therefore if you fail to use the proper expressions, it's still going to work. But when it comes to the idea of efshe de shliach, that's a fundamental chesaron. That doesn't make a difference, me'achshav or not me'achshav. That's along the lines of Yeshua Yaakov, but expressed more at greater length. Rav Moshe has an interesting nekuda in that famous tshuva, the last tshuva, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Ayin Tes. He says, as we've spoken about a few times before, Misvara, you can never make a chalos ala tnai. Only B'nai Gad or B'nai Ruvain allowed to do that. The Tosfos Ksubas, Rabbi Osai, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. When it comes to Me'achshav, you don't really need the Xeris Akasav, because it works what we call a Tanai on the Etzim HaMaisa. And why can you do that? Because whether it's Chal or whether it doesn't Chal, it's right now. Rain, I'll tell you, it's a rainy day. Huh? So I'll marry you, I'll sell you, whatever, if it rains tomorrow. And now it's raining. What? So rain creates marriage, rain creates divorce, rain creates a sale. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. It's like Xeris Akasav, they got up and they move it. Let's say I marry you now if it rains tomorrow. So the marriage is for giving the ring and the sales for giving the shtar or the money. That makes perfect sense. You wouldn't have to come on to B'nai Gad or B'nai Ruvain, Rav Moshe writes, Me'achshav. You know why? It's like a tos. My Rebbe used the same shprach. It's like a tos. It's ke'ein tos. Says Rav Moshe, when it comes to chalitza, chalitza b'tos also works. Top line. Chalitza mutas k'shera. And what if he give an example of Moshe? Let's say he did chalitza because he didn't want to do yibum because he heard she was very sickly or very she had a mum. So it wasn't true. Moshe, it wasn't true. So it wasn't true. So then you can argue that it's all betos. Rav Moshe says, a get betos is no get. A kiddushin betos, remember that? Spent a long time at the very beginning of the year, is no kiddushin. I had a shali yesterday on the phone, 11:30, I got a phone call, someone wants to know, she said, has made an appointment to have a get, because she found out from her husband, there's this problem and this major problems, and she wants to rather have an annulment. We should say, Kiddushay Tos. I said, please go get your get. I never spoke to them before, but it was last night. I don't tell you stories of you, mamish. Less than 24 hours ago, I got the shali on the phone, someone wants to have an annulment, don't do what she did. But a long distance courtship and a long distance engagement, you know, people think they can Skype, it doesn't work. She found out things about her husband which are really serious problems. And the truth is, if he wouldn't give a get, we would have to have a bezin to decide if there's a possibility of kedusha tos, but he's willing to give a get to take the get. And, okay, but for a Moshe is extended by chalitza would be chal anyway. How does Moshe know it's true? Fakert, the Gemara sounds against Rav Moshe. The Gemara says, what's chalitza mutas? Only a case of tonight. Didn't say the other cases. So I guess the answer is that the Gemara is discussing Amanas Masayim Zuz as opposed to the first pshat of Amanas Shata Konsa. But even a toast, a regular toast would also be considered a toast. As a simple reader of the Gemara, it would be. That's Rav Moshe's Chiddush. Fine. This is the issue, Rabbi Osai, of the Kasha, which we'll call the Yeshua Siakov Kasha. He's the first one I know chronologically who actually asked this question. Okay. Now, Rabbi Osai. We're not going to go into. Issue, well, I'll mention very briefly. We spoke already 2 days ago a little about kfiya, rotsani, not rotsani. Assuming that you do kfiya over here in some of these cases, the shaila why? Some say it's kofen ala mitzvahs, the mitzvah of chalitza, and some say it's kofen ala midas stone. So especially over here, once you made a chalitza psula, it's midas stone. You can't marry her. It's a midas stone. What's called zenen v'zalachosa. You're not allowed to do that. You can't just hold this woman in aguna just like this, and therefore you might be able to force him to do the chalitza. You presume would force her as well. I'm not going to repeat again. We spoke about on Monday about the whole pshat in the Rashba with the Ritva and the whole mahalach. It's also here a question of mishata and a question of berechi beis hasurim. If someone promises something under duress, do you? It's an exaggeration. You didn't really mean it. That may only be true in the case when the person is required to do it al pidin. Otherwise, perhaps you would have to give the exaggerated sum. You didn't have to commit to that amount of money. That's like a mash of a tzais, and other posts can talk about it over here. A doctor would like to charge, not charge. That's a movie also in the back here in our sukkah. Okay, so I just want to end up because I don't want to go over time. Yeah. The sugya of Hakara here, on the Kuvavim and Aleph. Hakara means you're supposed to know who the people are in order to be able to do the chalitza and then to write up the chalitza, etc., etc. So as far as writing up is concerned, Chazanish said, how can you write up a document of chalitza? It's mipik savim. Show the Gemara back on that Flam and Aleph. Mipik savim is no good. So he says, he took Gemara, chutz mipshut doesn't mean to write it, means to testify it. But if two guys write it, it's meaningless. The Pischei Tshuva says, no. The simple reading the Gemara is that two guys can write it. The Chaznish is a very shtarka taina, yes. It's mipik savam. So if you look in the Gemara, Bosei, on daf Laman Aleph Med Beis, that's where you find the exact PM alone mipik savam right before the Mishnah. But if you look on Laman Tessa Med Beis, says the Pischei Tshuva, 8 blot later, you see the answer to the question. The Lashon of the Gemara is, Midatkin Rav Yudah Begina the Chalitza. All this is a takana. But the rice it wouldn't work, and with the rabbanon it works. Fact the Chaznish, what? It means midaraisa she can't remarry. What means midarabbanon she can remarry? So presumably the answer is going to be it's a kind of a milsa davida legluye. You're going to find out at the end. Well, midarabbanon were afraid of shakrana. Perhaps that has to be the answer, presumably, to the chazanish's kasha, assuming that the pashup shot is correct, that you can write a shtar chalitza, even though he suggests it means something completely different, which is not kipshut. Fine. Just finishing up over here, the idea of Hakara, Rabbi Osai, is a very interesting concept. It's quoted by Halacha and Shulchan Aruch that you have to have Hakara. Although there are certain details that I'm going to mention very, very briefly, in terms of some of the finer points over here. I'll read it to you over here, Rabbi Osai. Pirish Seder Chalitza, that's something to read you from, which is written by Rav Yosef Karo, not by the Beis Shmuel as the Bar Ilan thinks. Okay, I'm not faulting them, but thank God they printed it for us. Okay, we have to be grateful. So this is over here in the Seder Chalitza. You have to know who's who. It's very important to know that he's the Yavam and she's the Yavama, etc., etc. You have to know. He quotes over here in the end of Laman Hey, or Zeruah writes, Shasat Chak. He has to leave. What do you do? Chol tnafapishen makirin. Tzarechiyun. If that's the case, we shouldn't write a shtar chalitza, because maybe we're assuming they did write a shtar chalitza because they assume that the Bezin did it right, they did a hakara, but no, maybe it was a shas atzchak. Ula shas atzchak ain't a raya. What does it mean, ain't a raya? It means we're afraid of a churva, but the definite churva of this yavam and yavam, where he's gone to the Medina Sayyam, is greater than the potential churva, which may exist in some at some other time. Okay, halacha lemaisa, so we paskin based on the Gemara, Naflamet Tesamit Beis, it's a Gili Milsa Bialma, Ishtimodinu, remember that long word? And Afilu Isha, even a woman is believed over here for this purpose. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in Sim, Afilu Isha, Ever, Oshivcha, Cotton, it's accepted. It's a Milsa Davila Legluya. But you have to have a Hakara. You have to have a Hakara Shehu Achi Ameis, and right, you have to know. You have to have both him and her have to have a car. So the question becomes, Rabbi Osai, are him and her exactly the same thing or not? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. If you look carefully, you will find that the Tosfos, take a look here, Rabbi Osai, the bottom Tosfos, Kuvav Amud Aleph, almost done. Tiksha, the Rabbi Mishmei de Nafshei, the Tosfos says, Beferish, Cholts in the Isha of Apishay Makirin. And Rabbi says, no. Tosefta is the Raisa, and here talking about the Rabban. It's very schwer. It says Cholts, it means Lachatchila, and Toan Mian over there. So the Keranor comes up with a Wapateritz. He says, the Tosefta says, Cholts in the Isha of Apishay Makirin. Her Akara is less Chomer than his Akara. He quotes the Pirish Selechalitza, quotes Rabbi Avraham Ben Asmael. Ain sarach lahakish azos eshes hameis. You have to have his hakara, but not hers. Why? He has to, having a fake man is a much greater incentive to do it. He doesn't want to give her a yibo, a chalitza, so she hires a bum who's willing to impersonate her yavam and do the. What's in it for him? Ah, not a bum, bro, her boyfriend. It's a boyfriend. So that was. My, you know, it's bad enough that a woman who was married to a wonderful man wants to get out of a marriage, so she makes tumult to get a divorce and marries a boyfriend. Here, she's never married to this guy; she's only a brother-in-law. But he won't do a chalitza, so she'll have him impersonated, and then the guy will do a chalitza, and then she'll go marry the boyfriend, who's the impersonator. So since that may happen, he has an interest in letting it happen. So therefore, we have to have hakara on the man, but the woman. Why in the world would a woman want to send somebody instead of herself for the chalitza? You know why? To save the tircha, save the coffee. Come on, it's not such a big deal. You're going to save coffee. It's a terrible thing. That's on a practical level why we say that his hakara is much more chomer than hers. That's how he answers the Tosefta. He's talking about her, and Agmar's talking about him. But over here in Sif Ches, there's a fascinating Chochmas Shlomo. Shlomo Kluva. He chasing Kushya Tsuma. Let the Yavam himself be believed. When it comes to matters of Easter, the Yavam himself is believed. You're being either Gemara says no, Lama Testament Beis. No. Let's talk about Lichnos. He wants to marry her. He's no Gabadav. He wants the physical pleasure of being with this beautiful woman, for example. Or the Yerusha, he wants the financial pleasure of marrying this woman. Big bucks. That's the famous case we had yesterday, right? The guy says lefty, righty. He's into the bucks. But for Chalitza, when there's no incentive, why shouldn't he be believed that himself? So sure enough, I saw in the Sholem Meshach quote in the Chalitza Chos, says maybe yes, in a Chanami, the possibility at least that he's believed to some extent with respect to Chalitza, even though he's not believed at all in the Gemara with respect to Yibam. Okay, so now we're just about finishing up, just reviewing what we did very, very recently, which is the idea of the Rekika, the last sugya on Daf Kuf Vav of the Beis. There is a question of some of the details of Rekika. You have to stand up. Rok Shenir LeDayanim, and it says in Poskim, from the beginning that it left her mouth all the way until the time that it hits the ground, the Tugir Sol Shabbos Saitosis Kuf Vav of the Beis discusses over here whether it's required, the Mischazi al-Ara, certain svarim, certain girsals have it, other girsals don't have it. Maybe it's mitzvah ben amuvchar. It's also a question: who has to see the roke? Does he have to see the roke? Do the dayonim have to see the roke, which is the pashup shot? Le'enei haskenin. The yorka befanav. What does befanav mean? That's shut spit in its face. That's a karov that we spoke about. So it spits in front of him. Maybe does he have to see? Does he have to see? He's tall. She's tall. He's short. And it gets blown away. All these sugyas. So that's a big question. The biggest chumrah we saw is that the chalitza kolchasa paskin that chalitza here are a problem. We have a carpet. As you spit in the carpet, so you can't really see it on the carpet because it's not so visible. You don't want to. On a plain floor, I'm not sure what kind of floors they had in the time of the Gemara. As you can see, there's some saliva on it. I don't even know. Two different girsos. It does say here, you need to have her own. Yoka me'atma, not ochla tuma, not ochla gargishta. She's eating other foods. Our meaning is, she eats absolutely nothing before the chalitza on that day to make sure that she shouldn't be having something else come out as a result of some other external thing. Blood, we saw, is a problem. We spoke about it before. Tzichtzuche roke in it. Maybe it's good with the evidence. I may only she spit it, not she dripped. Then we spoke about the phlegm is maybe no good. The poskim say the chalitza. So these are all kinds of specific details over here with respect to the roke. And we did spend a little bit of time in the very, very end, the pirush say the chalitza. We talked about a little bit about the hashkafa of what the roke stands for, the tipus rucha, what the chalitza stands for, either avelus or bizoyon, and things of this nature. And I want to end with a little bit of ashkaf, which we spent sort of, we should spend a little bit more time, but we didn't do it. So this will be my finale. We did the chazor in an hour and a half. Right? Started 9:05, right? We started the. I made it, even though we skipped a lot of things. Try. But this is a little post here, just on the hashkaf a little bit. Oh, if you look in the Chumash describes the parsha of Yibum and Parsha's Kiseitze, and opens with the following words which we didn't spend too much time discussing at all this year. Says as follows: Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdov. That's how it begins. So of course, the Gemara is in the Yevamos Daf Yudzayin that the Yeshiva Achas Ba'olam, as opposed to Eishes Achas Shlohayu Ba'olamo, the brothers would never existed in the world together. One died before the other one was even born. So it's not shaykh to have any kind of chalitza. Fine, but the Al Derech HaMusar Rabbosai, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdov means that and this is very important, Rabbosai, to think of keeping this in mind. We believe in families. And we believe in extended families. And we believe in family responsibility. What Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdov really means, from the Hashkafa perspective, is that when a man marries a woman, and remember, I repeat this so many times, marriage for us is defined as a woman entering into the home of her husband, not vice versa. This could be based upon the fact that a man can have two wives, by Torah law, we cannot have two husbands, whatever the basis. That's a definition. In base Isha Nadara, she enters into his home. He doesn't enter into her home. His responsibility, basically, is only to his wife. Right? The broader family, this. However, when a woman marries, let's say it differently, her family has responsibility for him, because after all, he is now married their member of their family, but not his greater family. But when a man marries, the entire family is required to embrace this woman and accept responsibility for her. Hopefully, there'll be a fruitful marriage, and everything's going to be gewaldig. Chalila v'chas, there's no zera shel kayama, then the brothers are supposed to step in, and ideally perform yibum, to make sure to it that the name is carried on. Hoya b'chora shatelet yokol malshem ochev ha-meis v'lo yimoch ha-shmo b'yisrael ha-sugir rabosai in Yevamos Daf Chav Dalet talks about pshat in the pasuk. That's most of the pshut. They're not going into all the details over there. But on a simple translation level, Right? Translation level, his name should not be blotted out from Israel, give the official translation. There's an obligation to see to it that the name goes on. Rabosai, Yibum is found here in Parshas Kisetze. There are a number of other places where there are references to the generality of Yibum. One, as you well know, is in Parshas Vayeshev. In Parshas Vayeshev, there's a famous story of Er Va'onan, and Shelah, and Tamar, and Yehuda. I'm sure you know the story. You probably all skipped it in school, so you all read it very carefully when you were 10 years old. Whenever they skip something, it only brings the boys to learn it in much, much greater depth. Okay, and that's what they want. Okay, but it's hard to explain these things to 10-year-olds. We spoke about it, if you recall, way back in Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara talks about the Avera of Er Va'onan, Baal Eishes Ochem V'Shiches Arza. How do you explain this to 10-year-olds? Okay. Dosh Bifnim, Zorim B'chutz, Rashi says. Whatever it may be. So, what happened over here? So, Onan didn't want to do it. Ki lo yi'azara. What does that mean? The sea would not be his. What do you mean it would not be his? What do you mean it would not be his? So if you look in the Ramban, giving you the art scroll, brief rendition of the Ramban, knowing the mystical significance of Yibum, Onan knew that the children born of his union with Tamar would be a reincarnation of Er's soul. And he was too selfish to let this happen. Ramban. Wee! A little bit above our level of understanding, I agree. But nonetheless, you see over here that there was a possibility of some kind of Yibum. It was obviously for Matan Torah. And he shirked his responsibility. And ultimately, the Ramban explains Yehuda, although he was a different role, he wasn't a brother-in-law, he was a father-in-law, what he did was ultimately a mystical fulfillment of the concept of Yibum. And what did Yehuda say? Tzodka mimeni, right? He took responsibility. And the Bali Musar explained that if you look at the opening pasuk of this parsha, Parsha's Perek Lamed Ches and Vayeshev, Vahi Ba'es Ahi, Vayered Yehuda Me'es Echov. What does that mean? What does that mean? That they would, it comes right after Mechiras Yosef, Rashi says, Horidu Echov Migdulaso, Ato Amata Lamacho, Yehuda was the leader. So Yehuda was castigated by his brothers, you know, in 20-20 hindsight, of course, very easy. So he separated from his brothers. That means it was considered his fault. He didn't have responsibility for Yosef. You have Kiyeshu Achim Yachtav. Mechiras Yosef is exact opposite of Kiyeshu Achim Yachtav. It's exactly the reverse. Selling your brother down the river. The opposite of Kiyeshu Achim Yachtav. And therefore Yehuda, Me'inyan le'inyan, goes right into the situation with Er, Onan, and Shelah, which is again an inyan of the Achim Yachtav of responsibility. At the end, Yehud himself accepts responsibility for his actions, Sotka Mimeni. And that's why I mentioned to you one of the previous year, Yehuda was Zoche, that we are all called Yehudim. We are all called Yehudim. Yehudim, right? That's what the Targum Yonason says in Parshas Vayichi. We are all called Yehudim with Yehuda Atu Yaducha Achecha. Parshas Vayechi, because Yehuda was mode in the story of Tamar, talked to me, man, he didn't have to do that. He could have just said nothing, and either she would have been killed, or she couldn't even have a pardon. He said, no, me, man, I did it. They're my kids. No one had known otherwise. He ultimately accepted familial responsibility. That's what it's all about. And finally, Rabosai, there's one other place in this book, I have the Chamisha Chumshe Torah stone edition, where a Yibum is found. What's that? What's that? Rus. We're coming up on Shavuos, Rabosai. Rus. That's exactly the Nekuda of Rus. It's some kind of Yibum situation where Boaz accepted family responsibility. Lehokim Shem HaMeis Al Nachloso. Ploni Amoni shirked the responsibility. Boaz accepted the responsibility. As a result of that union, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kaim all the way to the Mashiach. Again, accepting responsibility is a very, very important midah. And we always read Rus on Shavuos, and we are now in Sfiras Omer. And Sfiras Omer, Rabosai, is a time of accepting responsibility as well. Of course, the opposite, to some extent, was the story of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Lo Nogu Kovet Zeh B'Zeh. which indicates, at least to me, and as I want to finish with this, Kikieshu Achim Yachlam is not merely a situation of biological brothers. Of course, technically speaking, yes, brothers min ha'av, etc. But we Baruch Hashem are together for a whole year learning Torah together. So there's an Indian of camaraderie, Kiyeshu Achim Yachta. People come together in a shir and a yeshiva, and they're learning together. They have to have a certain measure of responsibility for one another. It's interesting that we call the sixth parak of Avos, which is Bryce of Kinyan Torah, says that Torah's nickness be Mem Ches Dvar, 48. List of a whole slew. And the Mefarshim point out that there are 48 days in the Omer, with one more, the Kolu, to Chaza, to review them all. Every day corresponds to a particular mida over here. And other Mefarshim point out that there's the sphere is really divided into three 16-day segments. Today is the 32nd day of the Omer, completion of the second segment. Some go as far as say it's Lev Tov. Lev is 32, the first, the Lev Ba'omer. And then there's the second 16 or 17, Tov is Gematria 17. It's a question, there are different versions of how to come up with that. And one of the Midos, which is corresponding to today, approximately, or precisely, depends exactly how you count, No Se Ba'ol Im Chaveru. What does that mean? What do you mean? No svol chavero means a person is responsibility. Not just for your family or brothers, literally, or your family in general, but also chavero, your friends, and those who you learn with, those in your yeshiva and your shir. This is something that's very, very important. We've tried to foster the spirit during this entire year, going back to the beginning of Elul. Baruch Hashem, now we're holding it by Lev Ba'omer. I want to leave you with this thought. We should all have this Lev Tov. All accept responsibility. The primary responsibility of your life. Tov l'gever yisa'ol benurav. Right? No se ba'ol. All the same word over here. Ze isha. As we've spoken about numerous times in our Thursday shiurim of marriage. That is the primary responsibility which devolves upon the husband. Yes, there's issues of the family, etc., etc. Remember that all. That's your primary all in life, Mr. Shem, when the time comes. It's also all of your family in general, of your chaverim. We should all be zoche to learn the lessons of Yibum in its broadest sense. Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav. If you and I and all of Klal Yisrael will be nosed by the chaverim, and will be Yeshu Achim Yachtav, will no doubt bring the Gula Shlema close to the Meir of Yomeinu Amen. Okay. We'll say tomorrow, I'll be here hopefully at 9 o'clock. And,